You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey.
To the journey!
I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
Charlene, this is our 180th episode.
Seriously? That's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a very much an accomplishment, I think. And one other accomplishment that I think we need to talk about is the exit of our sister podcast, Earl Grey.
Oh, yes. This brings a tear to my eye. However, I do understand that, you know, as this goes on, we're going on 4 years now ourselves. After a while, it's hard to keep up. It gets hard to think of those creative ideas. It's hard just to even keep going. And to those guys' credit, they never missed a week. You know, we're definitely different in that. We want to take off. Yeah. We're just like, yeah, you know what, guys? Sorry, but our lives are taking over and you're just going to have to wait. No, they never missed a week. And so we always knew every Tuesday we were going to get some fresh Earl Grey. And I give them massive props for that. But at the same time, I do applaud them for knowing when it was time to go. If they were getting bored or tired or, you know, all of the above, I get it. Because we're in the trenches with them, too. And I wish them well. And I can't wait for whatever they do next.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing is if you guys haven't listened to Earl Grey yet, I mean, we talk about them all the time. But if you haven't listened to them, their shows are still there. And they're timeless episodes. And you'll be able to experience those 155 episodes of Earl Grey. And there's a new Earl Grey crew coming on. So there will always be a Next Generation show on Trek.fm. But we're talking about Darren Moser, Daniel Prue, and Philip Gilfus leaving the show. And, you know, sometimes it's not even being bored. Sometimes it's not even getting tired. Sometimes it's just, let's do something different. Let's do something new. And
this is
a lot of dedication. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about this a lot, actually, in the mess hall where we have our focus as Voyager. But there's a million things that we could talk about if we had a bigger scope of a show. And so I get that, too, you know, the whole mentality. They end up doing, Darren, Daniel, and Philip, I can't wait. I'm excited for you guys. I am going to miss you on Earl Grey, but like you said, there's going to be a new crew eventually taking over Earl Grey. That's going to be fantastic. So if you want your TNG, you're going to get it. But if you want Daniel, Darren, and Philip, you're going to get that too at some point once they develop the next stage of their podcasting careers.
Well, the TTGA crew raise our teacups to Darren, Daniel, and Philip, and say au revoir.
Clink.
All right. Well, today, we are not exiting. Today, we are talking about a prequel story of Voyager. I love these ideas. I love expanding the Voyager universe as much as possible. I mean, we have Mirror Universe episodes that you and I have created. Mm-hmm. We like rewriting certain episodes. We've talked about what it would be like if they had a 10-year reunion after they got home.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, we haven't talked too much about prequel stuff, though.
No, we really haven't. And this comes from a fantastic suggestion from one of our listeners by Sophia in Italy. She wanted us to write something at all, in terms of a Chakotay and B'Elanna in the Maquis before Voyager kind of thing. And what we decided to do is we love doing our live on the spot episodes. And so we're going to do that with this focus in mind. And we're going to focus on the Angry Warrior and the Half Klingon.
We have not thought about what we're going to do. We have not written, pre-written anything. You guys know our style if you're listeners of the show.
Yeah, we got nothing right now. The whiteboard is clean.
It is squeaky clean. And we are going to have a lot of fun just starting from the top, from the beginning. And so let's just get right down to it.
Okay. Well, first things first, I have an idea. right off the bat about how this is going to start off. Okay?
Okay. Lay it on me.
Ancestor's Eve. Because this got introduced, I believe, in 1159. Yes? Where Neelix brought this up.
Oh, okay. So, okay. So I was thinking, we're gonna build this like an actual episode, like where there's a framing device and an intro on the ship. Okay, okay. So, like, I'm not saying no. I'm just saying that, like, for some reason in my head, I was just like, oh, let's just like write a novel where it's a prequel or something like that.
Oh, but, well, I mean, okay. Yeah. Actually, now that you mentioned that, we do have Pathways. So if you want a pre-Voyager Chakotay and B'Elanna backstory, little bit separate, little bit together. I mean, we do find out kind of how those two got together and had some adventures in the Maquis. We're not going to quite do the Pathways thing necessarily.
Yeah, I've read Pathways a lot, but a long time ago, and I cannot for the life of me remember how Chakotay and B'Elanna met. Now, I remember a lot of things from that book, but for some reason, I do not remember how Chakotay and B'Elanna met. And so I purposefully did not go back into Pathways to figure it out, because I think you and I could do something different, something new, something that's our own style of how
so
they met.
So are we going to basically create our own canon then? Like, is Pathways null and void in this story? Are we creating our own?
Yeah, I think so. I think, why not?
Okay, well, we can. I'm just making sure that that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if we want to throw in elements of Pathways that we remember, why not? But I don't think we should be beholden to it.
It's true. I mean, we are not actual writers of the show. We do what we want.
And also, I mean, it was never on screen.
It's true. And you could argue that, oh, the novels are not canon, blah, blah, blah. Jerry Taylor did write it, though, so in my head it is canon. However, I'm totally open to the idea of creating our own version. I mean, that's exciting. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So
let's do that.
Okay, let's do that. So we're gonna open up. I don't think it is the same Ancestor's Eve as depicted in 1159, where everybody's kind of gathered around and they're sharing little bits of backstory, and we have a lot of Shannon O'Donnell. I think it's in the seventh season, the very last year, where they have continued this as a tradition. And again, though, they are gathered around and they're here to reflect on those who have come past and past times. And something comes up where we bring up a Maquis story. And I think what's going to make this interesting is we learn about maybe something that the Angry Warrior did that's going to shock everybody. Something that would not be expected of him.
Of Chakotay?
Yeah, that's, I don't know, that just came into my head as, ooh, that's an idea. I have no idea what at this point, but maybe we start with that. What do you think?
Well, I really like the idea of doing it in the seventh season. I don't know why, but I like that we have 7 years of history between the two of them, and we unveil a story that no one knew, not even Tom, not even Janeway or anything like that. And I like the idea of a pregnant B'Elanna. I don't know why. It just fits.
I think I know why.
I guess that does make sense. Yeah. Oh yeah, I haven't talked about this on To the Journey yet, have I?
No, I didn't know if you wanted to say anything or not. That's up to you.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who listen to my other show, Nerd Nuptial, that I host with my wife, you guys will know. And for those of you who follow me on Twitter, you will most likely know. But we have a lot of listeners out there who don't do either of those things. Well, if you don't listen to Nerd Nuptial, shame on you.
For real. Shame, shame, shame on you. You're missing out.
But the girl and I are expecting a little girl on February 20th of next year.
Yay! A little baby Riddell. I'm very excited for you both. I know that this has been a long time coming for you. It's something that you've wanted for so long. It's actually happening now. And so all of my love for you and the girl and the baby.
And just so the listeners know, Charlene, you were one of the very few people who actually knew what was going on in my life, because it was a very long time coming. It was a difficult journey to get here, but we finally got here. But you were with us every step of the way.
I was one of the very privileged few people, and I was sworn to secrecy.
And you did a great job of it. And everyone, I just wanted to let the listeners know, because I love our listeners. I love our listeners of Nerd Nuptial and our listeners of To the Journey. And you guys mean a lot to us and to me. And And so, yeah, like, we usually try to mix in a few things from our personal lives here and there on the
show.
We
do, and this is a very big event.
Absolutely. So I guess that's the reason why I'm predisposed to a pregnant B'Elanna right now.
You kind of got baby on the brain.
I like that idea where, like, she's pregnant, she's thinking about the future, and when you're thinking about the future, you kind of think about what brought you there. You know, you think about your past and all the experiences that you had and what led you to that moment, and I think B'Elanna's no different.
Yeah, and of course, it's not just Chakotay and B'Elanna and Tom. It's everybody. Everybody is gathered around to hear this story. But maybe there is a nice little personal inflection here of, really, I had no idea about this. Or something. Or maybe it's just her mentality that's going to bring the story out. Maybe that's more it.
So who is telling the story? Chakotay or B'Elanna, or are they telling it together?
Here's an interesting idea. Do you remember the episode of The X-Files? I think it was Bad Blood, where Scully has a version of the story, and then Mulder has a version of the story, and we get each version. We get to see both on screen. And then they sort of try to meld their stories together so that they tell the same thing and have a consistency to tell to A.D. Skinner.
Yes, I love that episode. It's one of my favorite episodes from season 5 and the series overall. But if we do it in that style, that is going to be really hard to write on the fly.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty complex. Maybe we shouldn't go that far, although I love the idea.
Oh, I love the idea too, but I think we should,
Okay, yeah, maybe we simplify this just a little bit because we are live. Okay, Chakotay's going to tell the story because it's his story. However, maybe B'Elanna adds just a little bit to it.
I like that idea.
How about that?
I like that idea. Yeah, let's do that. So it's Chakotay's perspective, but B'Elanna will add in facts here and there.
Right, and then something's going to come out for Chakotay that nobody but him knows.
Oh, okay.
That not even she knows, and she is shocked.
Morale is really his baby.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
You are the father. Oh no, 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 no.
No, different show, different show.
I mean, I guess it's only fair because Tom and Janeway had lizard babies. We've got some weird things going on in the Delta Quadrant, I tell you.
Okay, so here's the thing. I think it should not be in the mess hall because I want this to be an intimate story. I want this to be a story that only Chakotay and B'Elanna would feel comfortable sharing with some of the crew, like maybe just the senior staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just them.
So I think it should be, maybe it's, how do we get them alone without them feeling like isolationists where they're celebrating it? Or maybe, maybe they have a pre-Ancestry Day lunch. I don't know. That sounds forced.
No, that's going too far. Are they in the ready room? Would that be appropriate?
No, that's not comfortable enough. They need, like, I want it to be, like, since you're talking about 1159, I would want them to be in somebody's quarters where they're lounging, having tea, and just, like, riffing with each other and like just talking about each other's stories. It needs to be a comfortable atmosphere, and I don't think the mess hall is comfortable enough, and definitely not the ready room.
Yeah, okay. Whose quarters is it then? Is it Janeway's? Is she hosting?
Here we go. Maybe that's the thing, is like maybe there is a post party in Janeway's quarters that she hosts every year for the senior staff on Ancestry Day.
Oh, I like that because then that's showing how much of a tradition it's becoming over the maybe the 2 or 3 years where they've had this since 1159.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I like that a lot. Okay, great. So it's in Janeway's quarters. And maybe they've opened up a couple bottles of champagne, except for B'Elanna, and they're just gathered around to keep the party going.
Yeah, I like that. We start the episode in the mess hall, though. We start it, and Ancestry Day is winding down, and then Chakotay goes up to Janeway and says, "Are you ready for the after party or whatever they call it?" And she's like, "Absolutely! Like, I got my quarters ready." And so then, boom, we're in their quarters, and so we know that this is a special thing. Like, we don't just pop up in their quarters; we see them leave the party and go as Neelix is cleaning up
or something. Now, something funny kind of occurred to me. Janeway does not strike me as much of a decorator for a party. So what has she done here to prepare?
Oh, just food.
I know this
and
is a detail.
Things. No, that's what I was thinking. Just like food, drinks, and snacks. Just like nothing. Okay, like
I already replicated the treats, guys, and they're not burned, so we're good.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, or maybe even say like Neelix, like she says, yep, Neelix has already made some extra treats that we can take to the room or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I mean, we can't really trust her to cook, so that's good.
No.
So now they're in Janeway's quarters and they're gathered around.
So now they're there. And so how does the conversation start? How do we get to Chakotay? Like, I feel like there has to be like a few quick little stories, like nothing long, just like a few anecdotes from one or two people.
Yes, really brief stuff, probably. I'm going to say that the one leading up to Chakotay's story is probably Bablana, just to trigger that connection.
How about this? Like, Neelix comes in with the treats or something like that. And then Janeway says, come in, Neelix, you know, like, because he said, sorry, I was cleaning up the mess hall. And, you know, like, she says, come on in. And she says, oh, we were just talking about the first time that we met everybody.
Oh, hey, yeah, great.
And then Janeway was like finishes up her story about when she first met Tuvok, which we all know that story.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good one.
And then maybe Neelix says like, oh, well, you know, like the first time I met Tuvok was, you know, like in the transporter room and we relive that story. And then Tuvok is clearly annoyed because that's who he is.
You gave me a big hug and you smelled. You hadn't had a shower in who knows how many weeks.
And then Tom says like, oh, well, we've all heard that story. And then he looks at his wife. But B'Elanna, I don't know how you met Chakotay.
Ooh, good hook.
B'Elanna looks a little, not like devious or evil or like nervous or anything like that. She just kind of looks like, oh, I've never told that story. And then she looks at Chakotay and Chakotay puts his drink down. And he says, well, should we? And then B'Elanna's like, I guess so. You know, like something like that.
Inquisitive looks from everybody around.
And then Chakotay says like, okay, and then that's when we have the opening credits.
You tease. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so then we're going to come back from the credits and open up with the story. And mm-hmm. I think that's, I don't know, I think we're flashing back. We're actually in the past now.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be good. Like, my first reaction was like, oh, no, let's have a little bit more preface with Chakotay in the room, but I think going straight to it is interesting.
Oh yeah, yeah, doing it this way? No, let's just jump right into it. We are now pre-caretaker. Yeah. Okay, so I think one thing that we ought to establish is that Chakotay did recruit B'Elanna into the Maquis. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. I think that's the story that we tell.
Okay. Now, of course, B'Elanna got recruited into the Maquis, I think, because, for one thing, she was sort of an outcast, was looking for a place to belong, but also she's a brilliant engineer.
Yes, but at the same time, I think recruit might be too easy. I think there needs to be some resistance. There needs to be some sort of catch where maybe Chakotay didn't want B'Elanna on the ship.
Okay. How come?
Well, that's the story.
That's the story. I don't know. I'm stuck on my idea of Chakotay has a big secret, but then B'Elanna mm-hmm. would know, something that he did that she found just maybe appalling. No, I don't like that at all.
I don't like that. I don't like that either. I don't think it should be appalling. I don't think it should be like a war crime or anything like that. I think it should be. It's got to be something shocking, but not appalling.
Right. It needs to be out of his typical character, but it needs to be reined in a little bit.
Do we establish that? Do we establish what it is before we build to it?
No, we reveal it.
Well, no. I'm talking about us on the podcast right here.
Oh. Okay. I suppose. Yeah. Do we want to hash that out? I suppose we do need to figure this out so that we can write the rest of the story.
I know it's not fun for the listeners, but I feel like the story kind of needs to, we need to know where we're going.
Yeah, we do need to establish this. So what can be out of character for Chakotay that is going to shock everybody? What has he done?
Bear with me here.
Okay.
So what if it's not Chakotay who recruits B'Elanna? What if it's Chakotay's wife?
He was previously married?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh my god, my fanfic brain just blew up because can you imagine what Janeway has to say about this?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh my god. I want to write all the fanfic now. Oh my god, the confrontation after everybody else leaves. Oh my god. Oh my god. I am in Janeway's head so hardcore right now. The look she's going to give him.
Okay, so how about, okay, I think if that's the reveal.
Yes!
I think that reveal is not the shocker. I think if that's the case, then when we come back from the opening credits, we should be back in Janeway's quarters, and B'Elanna says, they start talking back and forth, and then we realize that they're trying to hide something, and Janeway asks, like, you know, B'Elanna, I was always intrigued as to how Chakotay recruited you into the Maquis. And then B'Elanna says, well, it wasn't Chakotay who recruited me into the Maquis.
We could do that, yes. The thing is, why are they trying to hide the fact that Chakotay was married?
The big surprise is not that he was married. The big surprise is, why is he still not married?
Okay, well, those two things are going to be shockers. We're going to have a bump one, and we're going to have bump two.
Yes. And okay. That's why I think we reveal it early on. We reveal it right away that he was married.
Okay.
And then that gets people's attention. That gives them a reason to pay attention and to watch the story and to listen. And then we write the story of what it is and why they're not married anymore. And then we come back to Janeway's quarters and deal a little bit with the aftermath.
Yes, because I want furious Janeway to be furious, just a little bit. I mean, I want to see the sparks of jealousy flying just a tiny bit, although she's really trying hard to rein it in, you know?
Yeah.
Because kind of like how when Chakotay got jealous over Q, she knows she has no real right to feel the way she feels, but she does anyway. It's going to be like that.
That's the thing. I want to write that scene where tell the story and Chakotay says, and, you know, and then that's it. And then Janeway says,
yeah, you never told me, not even on New Earth. How dare you? Yes.
Before she goes into that kind of thing, she says, would everyone please excuse us? And then everybody leaves.
I don't know if we need to make it that deliberate. It's just where he intentionally hangs around in her quarters everybody
You're
else
right.
leaves because... he knows that they need to have a little talk.
You're right.
Come on, these two know each other.
Yeah.
He's not going to screw around. He's not going to let this hang. And he's also not going to bolt for the door. That's not Chakotay.
Yeah. My version is way too dramatic, over dramatic, but yours is just right.
He
stays to help her clean up, and then after everybody leaves, he's still there, and that's when she stops cleaning up and maybe drops a plate really hard, saying, okay, now we can talk about this.
I like it. Okay. So the first shock is Chakotay was married, and we're going to see a glimpse of everybody like, huh? It's going to be great.
B'Elanna's the one who drops the bomb. B'Elanna's the one who says, well, Chakotay didn't recruit me into the Maquis. Chakotay's wife did. And that's when everybody's like, what?
Yeah, there's going to be great body language between Chakotay and B'Elanna too, because she's going to kind of look at him like, should I tell him? And he's going to say, do it. There's no way we're getting out of this now. Reveal it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can see it. I can see it.
Yeah, me too. Oh my God, this is probably one of our best ideas yet, and we're not even, we're in the first scene here. We're in the first act.
First scene.
Okay, so is that when we start flashing back then, when we go back?
Yes.
When we start telling
the
story of how B'Elanna got recruited. Okay. So it's, Chakotay is married. He is married to, what is she? Why is she in the Maquis? Why are they married? We have so many questions to answer now.
All right, so what if the person that he's married to, what if we actually borrow a little bit from Pathways and it's Sveta, the person who recruited him into the Maquis?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. I like that idea.
And so that way it's a little service to the fans where they recognize that it's still, you know, like we're using some Pathways continuity, but we're not married to it. And yeah. And so that would actually make sense as to why, like, because he received a letter in the episode Hunters from Sveta.
Yes.
Like, but he didn't call her by name, but it was the person who recruited him into the Maquis.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can still use that. That can still be canon because, you know, like, we can go back to that. Like, if before a commercial break, we come back to Janeway's quarters, he goes, you know, like, somebody asks him, like, is that the letter that you received, you know, or something like that? Or is that the person who recruited you into the Maquis? And he says yes or something like that. So I think we keep it Sveta.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Sveta it is. Okay, so they were married. Now, something is up with her. I do not recall, and we don't even necessarily need to know, if in Pathways we know her motivation for being in the Maquis.
I think they went to the academy together.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they went to the academy together, and she's the one who encouraged him to defend his home planet from the Cardassians. So I think in this scene, we open up, and they're on the Jean Valjean.
Okay.
And I think it's Chakotay and Sveta, but Chakotay is not the captain of the Jean Valjean. Sveta
she is. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's the first mate, he's the first officer, whatever you want to call it. So he wasn't always in charge of the Jean Valjean. And this is what we find out.
Maybe that we catch him midway, like in the middle of, I don't know, a raid of a Cardassian ship or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking is like we're smack dab in the middle. It's kind of like the beginning of Caretaker, where they're being attacked or they're escaping or something like that. Instead of them getting thrown into the Delta Quadrant, they actually escape and go back to the Badlands.
Yeah, I kind of like it. Yeah, they successfully hack in and get some much needed supplies or something valuable, what have you, that the Cardassians are not going to be happy that they have. And mission accomplished. They succeed. They're happy. They celebrate. Woohoo!
Ooh, yes, yes. They succeed. They're happy. They celebrate. And they're, you know, like, they do the whole thing where they're like, we got away. And then, like, they hug each other and kiss each other. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, so this is the wife that that they were talking about. And then, but the thing is, they call to the back. They're like, Johnson, are you there? Chakotay to engineering. And they don't get an answer. And then they go to engineering, and Johnson is dead.
Oh, no. Such drama. What happened to Johnson?
Johnson, had 100 tricorders fall on his head.
That's more Star Trek-y than my explanation, which was just that he had a seizure of some sort.
Oh, no, I was like a console exploded or something.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It's just,
all right, so he's knocked out cold.
No, he's dead. Like, he's gone.
Yeah, okay, yeah, dead.
There was an explosion, there was plasma burns, blah, 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 Star Trek. You know, that's when Sveta and Chakotay start freaking out, where they're like, they're like, we were a skeleton crew to begin with.
And now
we
don't
have an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So obviously this creates an opening. And of course, Johnson was a fantastic engineer and he'd been working on this old engine. All of that knowledge he had on how this stupid thing was working is gone. Nobody else knows how to make this damn thing work.
It's totally one of those engines where, like, you got to tap it 3 times on the right side in order to make it work.
You got to know just the spot.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those engines, and
yeah,
he's the only one.
Very temperamental. You have to kick it every so often. You just have to know when and how. And so they're looking around for an engineer. And, okay, maybe that's when we stumble upon B'Elanna, who's maybe just being a little bit of a loner. She's not looking for a cause.
Yeah.
She's not really looking to do anything. She has just left Starfleet Academy and maybe is trying to recoup her life. Where do I go next? What do I do now?
I think they go to a space station.
Mm-hmm.
And where they say, they're like, okay, well, we need a new engineer, but we're not going to make it unless we get more supplies anyway to find the engineer. So let's go refuel. Let's go get this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll go to such and such space station. It's only a couple of light years from here.
Yeah. And it's Maquis friendly. So we're going to be among friends. We're safe.
Yeah. And so what if they go there and then so it's Sveta and Chakotay walking around and they have a list of what they need. And Chakotay's like, okay, if we split up, we'll be able to get this done faster. And then Chakotay goes to the right. Sveta goes to the left.
Okay.
And they're looking for supplies. They're bartering. And Sveta comes across this woman who is just absolutely screaming at a vendor.
Okay, I like it. I think we know who that is.
Just screaming at the top of her lungs. Her head is covered.
Oh, interesting.
And so she's arguing with him about how, like, he's overcharging for his parts.
Oh, and it's defective. She's complaining because he sold her a defective part. Like, how dare you? You guaranteed this. And you overcharged me for it in the first place, you prick.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of exchange.
Cool.
And then so Sveta stays out of it. She wants to see where this goes.
Yeah.
And B'Elanna grabs the guy by the collar, brings him forward and says, this is what we're going to do. Like, because you don't have any, replacement parts or the exact copies of what I need, you're going to give me this, this, and this for the same price. And then he starts to argue, yeah. And she smacks him around and says, no, this is not a negotiation. I'm taking these and you're getting your crap back. And then he pushes her back. B'Elanna leaves. Sveta starts to follow B'Elanna, and we start going around through the space station, and Sveta follows her to a little hole in the wall, like a place that no one really knows about, that she's clearly camping out.
Okay.
But B'Elanna catches Sveta following her. Mm-hmm. And Sveta says, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to follow you. I'm not trying to harm you or anything like that. I just wanted to know what you were going to do with those replacement parts. And
yes.
She assembles them right in front of Sveta's eyes into the part that she actually was trying to buy.
Okay, brilliant. Shows off her engineering skill right off the bat. Now, the question in my mind is, what is B'Elanna doing with these parts? I think the answer is she wants to build her own ship to float around and find the next thing in her life. She doesn't really feel welcome anywhere, so she's going to make her own home.
I love that idea, but I feel like that's a little bit too grand of a plan for someone who's down on her luck and, like, living in a hole. Like, what if...
Okay.
What if it's to get her passage on a ship or something like that?
Nah, B'Elanna, I don't know. I think maybe she's got an old rickety little teeny ship and she's repairing it, and it's basically a huge, like, she's going to flip this ship.
I like that idea a lot better. I like the idea of her refurbishing a ship instead of, like, building it from scratch.
There we go. So she's going to take this really crappy, horrible old ship and turn it into something awesome.
Yes.
And maybe with the intent of it just being hers, she's going to drive it around or what have you. Or maybe like a literal play on my words here. Maybe she takes old ships, refurbishes them, and then sells them to make a profit or get more parts and, you know, keep upgrading to do bigger, better things. It's like the one thing she knows that she can do.
She has her own show on HGTV called Flip My Starship.
I like it. I'd watch it.
I'd watch it. I'd watch the hell out of that show.
Me too. Yeah. Watch that genius at work, you bet. Okay, so maybe that's, I don't know, is that what she's doing? Is she flipping ships?
She's flipping ships. She does it for pay, and she's doing it so that she can do it on her own ship as well.
Okay, yeah, and then, like, maybe this is her pet project. She's refurbishing a ship of her own that she's going to use for her own purposes, whatever they may be.
Yeah, and that's when Sveta pitches it to her, where she goes, you know what? You know, we just happen to be in you know, like, we need an engineer. We need someone with your skill, and we'll give you free passage to wherever you want, you know, if you fight for us for a while.
Yeah, or no, I think she has to reframe that a little bit. Even though B'Elanna is a fighter, you come work with us. You help us out, we'll help you.
Right.
Maybe B'Elanna's not interested in the Maquis. She doesn't want to get involved in this conflict. She kind of knows a little bit about what it's about, and she's just like, no, leave me out of this. I'm not interested in a conflict.
Where she says, like, I've had enough dealings with Starfleet. I don't want to be on the opposite side as well.
Okay, so we've established what B'Elanna's doing, which is, I think, pretty badass, if you ask me. And
Absolutely. She's
turned Sveta down now. Mm-hmm. So maybe do we cut to Sveta talking to Chakotay about this brilliant lady, this wonderful engineer she found who would be so perfect, but she just couldn't convince her to come on board yet?
Yeah, I think so. I think that needs to happen, where Sveta goes to Chakotay and says, we need this individual. And so how does how does Chakotay contribute to getting B'Elanna on the ship without him being solely responsible for getting her on the ship?
The two obviously have to have a run-in somehow.
Yes.
Is B'Elanna going to get herself into some trouble? Like, maybe the guy that she got the part from is a little unhappy about how the whole last transaction happened, and now maybe he's got some hitmen coming after her?
I think that's genius, because Chakotay does not meet B'Elanna. We just see Sveta talking with Chakotay, saying, oh, yeah, I found this amazing engineer. She's perfect for the job. She's a fighter. She's feisty. But she just doesn't want anything to do with the Maquis. Chakotay's like, well, that's too bad. I have all the supplies. We can try someplace else. And that's when we see B'Elanna in the distance running towards them, being chased by police or something.
Like, she runs right between the two of them, like pretty much crashes right through them. Almost like, you know, how kids play Red Rover and you have to punch through the kids' hands, basically. She does that between the two of them as they're talking, interrupts their conversation, and then suddenly there's these guys chasing after her.
Yes, yes. But I think as she jumps, as she bumps into them, she says, does the offer still stand?
Ooh. Okay, so she catches out, like, who she runs into, and suddenly,
yeah,
because she needs protection.
And then Sveta says, absolutely. And then B'Elanna says, well, then we better start running.
I like it. So then they start taking off, and then maybe Sveta and Chakotay provide her some cover, and they get into some fist fights. And of course, by this point, now that she has a little strength in numbers, B'Elanna, she wins.
Yep. And they make it onto the Jean Valjean, and they hightail it out of there.
Love it. Okay. So now that she's on the ship, do we need a little bit of negotiation here? Like, okay, I thank you for what you have done. I'm still a little bit on the fence for this. I was acting maybe I was being reactive, I'm thinking is what B'Elanna might be saying, where, you know, I kind of did what I had to do back there. Now I think Chakotay comes in and he starts with his persuasiveness about why this is a good thing for her, and maybe almost kind of as an FU to Starfleet a little bit.
Little bit, like, yeah.
Take those feelings and let's make use of them. He's going to spin it so she feels good about it, of course.
Sveta is the one that recruited B'Elanna, but Chakotay is the one that convinced her to stay.
Yes.
I have an ending.
Ooh,
and
okay.
I want to talk about it, but I don't want to jump the gun. I don't know. We're coming up on 40-some minutes.
Right. We're going way too slow on this one. But I feel like we're crafting such a good story. Oh my gosh, I could do this all day.
Okay, so I feel like what we need is one more scene to develop the relationship of the three of them. And then I have a great idea for an ending scene.
Okay.
I feel like that scene needs to be them, like Chakotay and B'Elanna, building their friendship. Now, do we want to flirt with the idea of them not knowing what their friendship is right away?
Meaning relationship potential?
Yes.
Is Sveta jealous?
I think maybe there's this situation. They're getting chummy really fast. And Sveta is seeing it in a different way.
Okay. I'm willing to go along with this so far.
Now, I'm not saying this has to be the way that we go, because I don't want to make it weird or anything like that for later on. But
Well, they did make it weird. Remember persistence of vision?
Well, that's what I'm kind of building off of, where those feelings probably didn't come from nowhere, you know?
Right, it's true. So we're going to see the genesis of that.
Yeah, what if this is the genesis of that, where they don't act on it, but they have some confusing feelings towards each other. And then Sveta sees this and gets worried, but Chakotay's like, hey, listen, there's nothing here. You know, like, there's no reason to worry. You're the one who recruited her. I'm not going to do anything. I'm sure she's not going to do anything. You know, something like that, where Sveta's not a green-eyed monster. But, like, she raises the question and then her fears are allayed.
Okay, yeah. I mean, like, at the end of the day, you know, who's sleeping next to me in our quarters? Our quarters.
Right.
It's not happening.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Now, I think we need to work our way toward the reveal now of whatever it is Sveta is going to do to basically remove herself from Chakotay's life, or vice versa.
Yeah, here's my idea, and let me know what you think of this.
Okay.
This is broad strokes here. So they have to go do a job. They get a communication, they get some intel, and they're like, okay, we need to go to this job. Like, B'Elanna, this is your chance to test your mettle. Mm-hmm. And like, we gotta go in and get out. It doesn't really matter what the job is. It's a job that's high stakes. They have to go steal something, and then they have to make it out alive, or they have to do something that's going to put them in danger. Mm-hmm. Now, what if they go through this whole thing and everybody's doing awesome? Sveta's doing her job. Chakotay's doing her job. B'Elanna, we see her genius at work,
mm-hmm.
and they board the ship. Like, the Cardassians board the Jean Valjean.
Okay.
It comes to a situation where Chakotay can only save one of them.
Oh, but Sveta can't die, can she?
No. Sveta's not going to die. Not going to die. Maybe it's not the Cardassians. Maybe it's the Federation. Let's make it the Federation, not the Cardassians. The Federation boarded the Jean Valjean. He can only save B'Elanna or he can only save Sveta, but he knows that one of them is going to go to prison if he doesn't save them. And he ends up choosing to save B'Elanna and not Sveta.
I think the relationship between Sveta and Chakotay needs to fall apart on account of something she does. I don't think Chakotay having to choose one over the other is completely out of character either. So if we're going to go that route, it needs to be something else.
What if we put the onus on Sveta then? Where it's not Chakotay making the choice, it's Sveta making the choice to sacrifice herself, not in a death way, but sacrifice her freedom in order to save Chakotay and B'Elanna.
Okay, why is she going to do that?
Because it was either all or nothing.
Okay, that's going to just leave Chakotay with a bunch of guilt.
Maybe that's why he doesn't talk about it.
And then he's still married.
Oh, shit.
Right? No, she needs to do something where they're getting divorced after this. Or he needs to do something where they're getting divorced after this. Where the relationship, like, this is a make or break moment where suddenly I don't know you anymore and I don't want to be with you.
What if we retroactively go back and rewrite that scene where it's like B'Elanna says, actually, it was Chakotay's wife that, you know, recruited me. Ba-ba-da-ba, you know, opening credits. And then they come back and Chakotay, and like Janeway says, your wife? And Chakotay says, well, not technically my wife, but we were together for years and she might as well have been my wife. Or something like that.
Okay, that's okay. Then that's actually a little more, I think, in line with Chakotay's mentality a little bit.
Yes, and so that way it gives us the opportunity for him to move on a little bit easier, and so that there's no guilt and no finger pointing where, like, oh, Chakotay, why were you having relationships on Voyager if you had a wife back home?
I have an idea. Okay, Sveta gives the illusion that she's going to sacrifice herself and turn herself in so that Chakotay and B'Elanna can escape. However, she changes her mind and leaves Chakotay and B'Elanna to fend for themselves while making her own escape, something that he cannot forgive.
I don't know about that one because it still doesn't answer why he never would have brought it up. Okay, so what if we expand that scene where Chakotay and B'Elanna are getting to know each other better?
Okay.
And Sveta doesn't take it as well as we put it. Like, we see time go by, and Sveta's like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm going to give you the Jean Valjean, and I'm going to hook up with so-and-so's ship the next time we meet. You're ready to be a captain. I'm ready to move on. And the Maquis needs more captains on ships and everything like that. Or something to that effect. And so that way we establish that she's going to leave anyway, and Chakotay's like, so does that mean we're done? Like, you're just leaving me? And she says something to the effect of, I think you'll be fine. You have the new engineer.
We need to make things more strained then between Sveta and Chakotay. I mean, things have to be pretty rocky for her to reach this point.
Yes. So it can't be all hugs and kisses at the beginning.
What if, okay, this changes, like, I guess the pathways canon a little bit. What if she just doesn't want to be a part of the Maquis anymore? What if she is so tired of this, she has forgotten the reasons why she wants to fight, she just doesn't want to fight anymore? And she basically is saying, I'm leaving it all behind, including you. And then he's outraged, like, how can you just drop everything and leave and go?
Chakotay convinces her to stay for one more mission, and that's the mission that she gets captured on.
Yeah. Okay. And then here's the thing, is the reason why she finally comes to this conclusion right in this moment is the fact that she's been contemplating it for a while. Deep down, Chakotay knows this, that she's really tired of the fight. She sees like the fire in B'Elanna's eyes. Suddenly B'Elanna has a cause. She has something worth fighting for, some an outlet for her anger. And Sveta realizes, I'm not that person anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. And you know what? This isn't working for me at all. I mean, they came together on the common ground that they wanted to fight and be a part of the Maquis. If they don't have that in common anymore, she's leaving Chakotay.
I like that. Let's keep all of that. Okay. And then we can transition that into Chakotay saying, if you want to leave me, that's fine. But don't leave the Maquis just yet. He's like, you're too talented of a captain and too talented of a fighter. We need you at least for this one last job. And she says, okay, but after this job, I'm out of the Maquis and I'm out of your life. And he says, that's fine. If that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do.
Okay, I like it.
They do this one last job and she gets captured. And Chakotay blames himself because if she just left when she wanted to leave, she wouldn't have gotten captured.
Mm-hmm. And then she sacrifices herself so that Chakotay and B'Elanna can break out and save themselves. She's going to go to prison, but honestly, she does not care because, hey, she's out of the Maquis now. She can answer for what she has done and then rebuild her life when she's out.
Well, I think she'll care. I think it still has to be that sacrifice. It still has to be...
Well, okay, like, she cares, but you know what I mean? Where, okay, this is... in a way, in a weird, twisted way, this is the next logical step for her. She's at peace with it. Like, she's okay with it. Okay, there we go. Oh, and then that's such a very Chakotay thing, too, where, okay, if you're not into this, sweetheart, move on. You're breaking my heart, but okay.
And so we're on Voyager, we're in Janeway's room, and then we see that everybody's sitting in the same exact place, and everybody just has this sense of, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're a little shocked.
And then we slow cross-dissolve to people cleaning up and leaving, and then it's just Chakotay and Janeway in the room. I'm picturing Janeway cleaning up and not looking or talking to Chakotay. Like, she's averting his gaze, and Chakotay's trying to get her attention and trying to get her to talk to him.
Mm-hmm. As he tends to do, he's sort of like a little lost puppy in that fashion. And he knows, like, okay... yeah, I probably should have told you about this a while back. I realize that this was maybe a little bit of a surprise to you. Let's talk mm-hmm. about it. And then she breaks the plate, as you said earlier. And
oh, she slams it down really hard.
About this.
Yeah, she doesn't break it. She just slams it down really hard.
Oh, all right. That was just in my head that she broke it. With such force that she broke it.
She's like, we've known each other for 7 years now. I cannot believe that you kept this from me. She says something like, you know almost everything about me.
Yeah, I have like the words in my head. Just like, we have known each other for 7 years. And in all that time, you have failed to mention that you were basically married.
Yeah, like you were devoted to this woman. She was devoted to you. And he's like, yes, it was a long time ago. I was ashamed at how things went. And she said, she's like, even when we were... you know, like on New Earth together, you didn't tell me.
You failed to mention. Really?
Yeah.
And then what is his answer going to be to that?
Chakotay just gets a calming tone and he says, last time I got too close to my captain, everything fell apart and I lost everything. I won't let that happen again.
Okay, I like that. And then Janeway can come back and say, it's not just your decision. Because that's a very Janeway thing to say. Yeah. Yeah, it's not just your decision, Chakotay.
Boom, credits.
And then fade to black.
Fade to black.
Because then you've got all the subtext, you've got all of the what ifs, and yet there's still something so very core there between those two. It's perfect. Okay, done. We have an episode. Hallelujah. Woo!
End of episode. Now, I just want to point out that you and I successfully took a story about Chakotay and B'Elanna's past and turned it into a J/C story.
Look at what we did here.
In only a way that To the Journey could.
You know, we have a way about us, and this is it.
It works.
So, of course we did. I don't know how we could not quite honestly. All right, well, turning a B'Elanna and Chakotay story into a Janeway and Chakotay story is not the only thing that we were talking about on Trek FM this week, because, frankly, nobody else can do it the way we can. Here's what everybody else is talking about on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, the Orb.
What would have been awesome is if he had gone down, he found Bahala, he went in there, and there was an ancient Bajoran piano there. And somehow, it came to him in a vision. He remembered all of the most popular Bajoran songs from the time. And he started playing those on the piano and singing. It would have been awesome.
Saturday Morning Trek.
What I had to assure the fans when I talked at the convention or conventions was, this is not going to be a kiddie show. This is not going to be a baby show. We are doing Star Trek. And we were able to do Star Trek in some ways a better way, because we could have wonderful spaceships, we could have wonderful aliens, wonderful planets, and we still had good stories.
Stage 9, a podcast about the people who make Star Trek.
Every chance they have to get him off the bridge of that ship and have him running around on some planet or shooting some guy or jumping on something, they do. And it's like, he's got that chair there. It looks really comfortable. Let's have him sit in it for a while and command a starship.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. Everything on Trek FM is supported by you, the fans, the listeners on Patreon. And we have associate producers of TTJ to thank for their support of our show in particular. Those people are Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, Bruce Lish, Dante Hopkins, Brian Belicio, and Kay Janeway. Thank you guys so much for your support. And if you want to get in on the action, go to patreon.com/trekfm. Check it out. Any and all support is encouraged and appreciated. You guys are what keeps us running. We also want to thank those of you who are leaving us reviews on iTunes. They are coming in, and we have one more person to thank this week, and that person is Mary Renee. So thank you very much for not only leaving us 5 stars, but for writing a review. That helps spread the word about the show, brings in more listeners, helps us out on the iTunes rankings, all that good stuff. So thank you so, so very much. If you've not written us a review, you know what to do. We'll thank you on the show. All right, Tristan, this has been so much fun.
I love our rewrites, and I love our stories out of the blue. And I think this was some of the most fun that I've had with a fresh take on an interesting story that was a prequel before everybody met. I love adding backstory.
Yeah, that's fun. And I feel like this one just felt magical. Maybe it's because we threw in the Janeway and Chakotay subtext. That always makes me a little happy inside. But we took a fantastic idea from one of our listeners, and I hope we turned it into something entertaining. We certainly had fun. We hope you did too. And until next time, everybody, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!